lesson sheet on head covering. And we are at the last page. On page 7, we are at E. We hope to cover that just a minute. Yes, we hope to cover that section tonight, or at least within the next, if not tonight, hopefully. I don't know why this. Last week we came to study this final section, but there were quite a few questions that were profitable, and I said then, and I'm saying now, the time was not wasted, it was well spent. We are going to encourage your participation. Especially as it relates to the subject under consideration. What I would like to do is cover some grounds before we accommodate any question, but if you have question and or if question comes up and you fear they may slip your mind, just jot it down, because your question and other form of participation is important. Okay, could somebody read for us E?
Verse 16.
First, read it from the Bible and then from the lesson.
But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God.
Okay.
This is the verse that so many men and women have the Apostle Paul drinking so much rum and consuming so much illegal drugs that he got stone drunk, and beside himself, that in this one verse, verse 16, Paul voided, nullified, and destroyed all that he had said in verses 5 through 15.
Stop there. My contention is, and for many years, is that some of the explanation that I've listened to in respect to verse 16, the people who come up with those explanations, if they are correct, Paul would in fact be an intoxicated person. If they are correct, not just intoxicated, he would have been stone drunk. Because what the interpretation is that in verse 16, the line or the phrase which says, we have no such custom, they are giving that the meaning in having Paul saying that we have no such custom of women praying and prophesy with their head covered. Secondly, they bring up a second point in the verse. In addition that Paul is saying we have no such custom of women praying or prophesying with their head covered, they also bring up the point that there it is. Paul is telling us that it is a custom. What is a custom? That is the traditional use of the word. Nobody knows. It's a practice.
An established practice.
And a custom is something which either person, a household, a community, a country, a race of people have been doing so long that they refer to it as a custom. So the interpretation given to this, as I said, people will tell you, and people will adamantly hold on to that. Paul said, it is a custom. I have just told you what a custom traditionally is. That is how the word is used. In the Bible, and elsewhere for that reason, for us to know the meaning of any word, very important that you keep this in mind. You have to take the context in which that word is used. Very important if you are going to understand the Bible, be it on baptism, the Lord's communion, faith, repentance, whatever, you have to first take the context in which that word is used. I mean any word, the most basic word, you have to take the context in which it is used. Pick up where you start, brother. Where you stop.
For any person to give verse 16 a meaning or interpretation that destroys all that he said in verses 1 to 15 is to make Paul into a crazy man or to pervert the word of God.
Stop there. Everybody got what he said there? From verse 2 or 3, Paul is giving reasons that the woman's hair, our head, must be covered. That is from verse 2 or 3 down to verse 15. Paul is giving some 7 to 8 reasons that the woman's head must be covered. Reason one, the teaching and command of head covering for women and not covering for men is based on divine headship. I'm going now down Corinthians chapter 11 from verse 2 or 3. And we are going to look on some 7 to 8 reasons the inspired writer gave. As I said, reason one, the head covering teaching according to the inspired writer is based on headship that was established by God from creation. That's reason one. Reason two, man being the image and glory of God, woman being the glory of man, and to just throw something along there, there should be no competing glory in God's presence. So because man is God's glory, he must not be covered. Because woman is man's glory, she ought to be covered. That's reason two.
Reason three.
Shame. Reason four. Creation priority. That is the priority which the Almighty God set up, established, laid down at creation. That's reason four. That is found in verse 8 through 10. Just somebody quickly read that for me. I'm just going down the reasons that are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 50, verse 3 through verse 15. The reason given for women to be covered and for men not to be covered when they either pray or prophesy. Creation priority is reason four. Let us read verse 8, 9, and 10.
For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man.
That means simple, of man, not of woman, genitive. The man did not originate from the woman, that is originally. But the woman originated from man. Meaning, God created, make the woman from the man, that is originally. Because afterward, he's going to show that in fact, The man is of the woman and the woman is of the man. So he doesn't want us to get hung here on this and get in any problem. Okay, read.
Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man.
That's right. Okay. Now I'm just showing you here reason four. And I term it creation priority. The priority which the Almighty God laid down at creation. Read on.
For this cause.
For this reason. That far is taking you back to what he has just said. Is 8, verse 8. Yes, in verse 8 and 9. What verse are you?
We're at verse 10.
That's right. For this cause, what cause? The priority in creating man's first, etc., etc., that was laid down from creation. For this cause, meaning this is the reason. What?
ought the woman to have power on her head?
Isn't that plain? We are all part of unscriptural explanation. It has to do with some problem at Corinth, and it's not relevant today. And no. Nothing in the passage, in the entire 16 verses, ties the command for men not to be covered when they pray or preach or teach, and for women to be covered. Nowhere in the entire text do we have the explanation that it was because of some problem at Corinth. Nowhere. And the fourth reason, as I said, given, is the priority. When a woman covers, among other things, to show that she accepts God's stratification of authority. God over Christ, Christ over man, man over woman. That is laid down in the passage. That's laid down, I think, in verse 3. You see, that's the priority that God laid down coming at creation. Hold your point, Brother Fisher. As I said, I want to cover some ground, but we want your input, you know. Yes. So that is the priority God laid down at creation. And that is one of the reasons. Reason 5. Because of the angels. Huh? Now, you notice that all the reasons that I have touched on so far, they are as relevant today as they were when the Bible was written. None of them really have anything to do with some situation at Corinth. None. Brother Fisher.
I think it's people who want to make.
And
this
for those who might be visitors, we are taping this whole series. We have been on this series of study for some 6-7 months, 8 months. And we are ending this study now. We are on the last verse, verse 16. So while you find that we take, when you want to make a comment, we will take the mic to you wherever you are seated, because we want all that have been said in this study for the 8 months. It is on our CD. The CD will be available in time to come. We will have it. And Brother Michael, we want remember whenever this series completed, now next week or whenever, I would like to have the CD. And one can be kept around the general office, but I would also like to have one so that it is preserved. And never forget the debate we had at the Sabina Park. I'm coming back.
No, you're fine, sir.
You know, I hardly think we will ever get a chance for something like that. Brother Jack Evans, former president of Southwestern Christian College in Terrell, Texas, said he's one of the great and probably top debater of the Church of Christ in this probably decade or century. He just was top and have been engaging men. He said that the debate at Sabina Park, which many of you know I invited him to sit down, not to participate, He said he has never, of all the dozens of debates he went to, he has never been to a debate that attracted so many people. Each night, 6,000 to 8,000 people every night. That's why we had to rent Sabine Park, the Church of Christ and the Pentecostal. And one of my disappointments today, over the past few years, is that there is a certain segment of that debate that we don't know where it is. We had it videotaped, and you have all seen some of it right here, but certain segment of it, we don't know who it was loaned to and where it went. So that's why I said. Yes, Brother Fisher.
And we follow Brother Jack Evans a lot. Wherever he has his...
That's great.
Yes, sir.
That's great. Yes.
We are with him everywhere he goes. So
that's great. Yes, you know, he's just...
Phenomenal.
That's it,
yes,
brother.
Sir.
Just great.
Firm,
yes.
Firm phone.
Firm,
yes. Brother. Firm, brother. Yes,
that's
sir.
It. Yes.
For someone who might have conflict in their mind.
Yes.
As I always say, my wife can tell you, you use clear scripture,
yes,
to clarify difficult scripture.
Let me put that another way, and I'm glad you mentioned or brought that up. You do not use a vague passage to interpret a clear passage.
That's right.
Well, never said. Do that.
Well said.
Whenever you are studying or discussing with someone and there is problem between both of you on a passage that is worded vaguely, mm-hmm, don't use that passage as the criteria to interpret the plain passage. Use the plain passage to get the meaning of the vague passage. Thank you, Brother Fisher.
Yes.
Verse
6 is very, very clear pertaining to an artificial covering for a woman.
That's right.
If it was not an artificial covering, remember a woman is born with her hair.
Yeah, that's right.
It says, for if a wife will not cover her head.
And Brother Fisher, may I interrupt,
yes, sir.
Interrupt you?
Yes, sir.
Some translation use the word wife. That is an incorrect
translation.
Yes, because the entire passage is not relationship focused.
Yes, sir.
It is gender focused.
Okay.
It's not talk of wife and husband as such. It's talk about man and woman.
Okay, yes.
And So there are a few translations that have wife.
Yes, sir.
But we have gone over it here that
it's
really the what should be put there. And mark you, the word that is translated wife there is so used. The Greek word that is translated wife, it is so used in some places.
Mm-hmm.
But there again, I come back to something I've just said, that it is the context that determines whether you have wife or woman. And in this context, because the entire passage is gender focused, it's focusing on man and woman, not wife and husband, that tells us that it is woman that are to be. Go on with your comment.
Yes, sir. For if, I'm going to change it, for if a woman will not cover her head, and even if you interchange it for a wife.
Yes, that's right.
You're still basing it off a feminine.
Still, yes.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
So if a woman will not cover her head, right there I can take a pause.
That's right.
If it was not an artificial covering,
yes,
the hair would substitute for a covering.
And she would have already had her hair.
That is correct. She would already have her hair
and
already have a cup. There you go, sir.
That's right.
So, Then she should cut her hair short. But since it is disgraceful for a wife to cut off her hair or shave her head, let her cover her head. So that is very, very clear.
Very plain.
Very, very plain. And very quickly, sir, because I know you're limited on time, verse 10 that you touched on, this is why a wife had to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angel. So here again, it's very plain to show that it's an artificial
cover. That's right. And remember, the covering is a symbol.
That's right.
It symbolizes God's priority. It symbolizes for God's stratification of authority, God over Christ, Christ over man, man over the woman. And it is telling, when it says because of the angel, it is saying that by the woman covering her head, she is acknowledging before man, God, and angel that she has acknowledged and she has accepted God's stratification of authority. She's not rebelling against it. So we have reached reason 5. Anyone remember what reason 5 says? Because of the angel and the implication, not just in this passage. In other passage, is that angels are present at worship. Yeah, we have gone through that. That angel. Okay? Reason 6. Judgment. That is what is appropriate. Reason 7, nature. That is that God gives the woman a longer hair than the man. That is indicative of something. And reason 8, there is no such practice wherever the church, our congregation of the Lord's church is found, there is no such practice of women not covering and man covering their head. When we are coming more to that. Now, my point is, I want you to follow me. My point is, are we all there? Here from verse 3. Four, five, six. Verse 7. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Verse by verse, the Holy Spirit through Paul is arguing, giving reasons upon reason why a man praying or prophesying, or you may just use approaching God, must not suffer because he is God's glory. Woman are to cover because she is man's glory. Yes. A sister may say, I don't want to be any man's glory. Well, you and I don't have anything to do with that. God make it so. You see, God fix it like that. So whether you want it or not, God fix that. Okay, all these reasons the Bible gives. Now, somebody would like me to believe that after the Apostle Paul gave all these reasons why a man ought not to be covered in worship and that a woman ought to, when the Apostle reached verse 16, he just simply said, you know, all that I've been teaching you in this letter from verse 3, 4, 5, 6, giving you all these reasons why the brothers must not cover and the sisters must cover. You know what? There is no such practice in the Lord's church. He just used one verse to overthrow all the things he has been commanding in verse, in these many verses. Does that make sense? No. I'm always wondering, when a person come and say, like people have a term, it's not essential to salvation. Who says? Does it make sense? And if you don't understand what I'm saying, go and read the passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, read verse 1 to verse 16. Because verse 17 to the end of the chapter covers the communion of the Lord. Verse 1 to verse 16 covers the head covering. Now, if you have not studied that passage, go on your own, get your Bible and study. And notice all that has been said, commanded, directives given, from verse 3 particularly. Verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, verse 8, verse 9, verse 10, verse 11, verse 12, verse 13, verse 14, verse 15. Notice what has been said there about man not to be covered in praying or prophesying. Women are to. And then Paul made the statement, we have no such custom in the churches of God. Why, under God high heaven, how could you give that to mean that we have no such custom in respect to what he has commanded in all the verses above? That doesn't make any type of sense. No sense. And as I said here, unless you have the inspired Paul drinking some rum, smoking some marijuana, and taking some of these modern day drugs, that he was totally knocked out. A person has to be totally knocked out. You know, I spend probably an hour showing you reason upon reason why you are to be baptized. Reason upon reason. You are buried with Christ. It washed away your sin. It put you in the body of Christ. And what? 1 hour I preach. And the last minute left for the sermon to end, I said, you know what? Baptism is not necessary for salvation. Many of you would come and throw me out the church bodily. Because that, in fact, many of you probably would take me to Bellevue instead. That doesn't make sense. And this is why I ask people, many times over the year, I ask people, go and study the passage on your own. And if you have a honest heart, yes, Brother Bromley.
Good evening, brethren. First, let me just apologize for my late arrival, not just this week, but last week. It is really not my practice to be late anywhere, because I think it's really a mark of disrespect to God, really. So I apologize, brethren, okay, for that. Even before I comment, I would like to further thank God for stalwart like yourself, Brother Mitchell, of standing up for the truth, despite other popular beliefs, no matter how bountiful those beliefs are, but to you being dedicated to the word and to the work here, certainly the effort that you have put in for the last eight and a half months, I believe it's more than edifying to all of us and well worth it. So I commend you and I thank you for your dedication in this respect. With respect to the issue at hand, I would like to, in addition to the reasons that you have so correctly outlined, is to just to quickly reiterate two very important points that annex these points. And it's that these instructions, we have seen that they were eternal. They are not limited to time or to culture.
That's right.
Right? And also that they were not limited to the Corinthian church.
Truly, truly.
Okay? Now, I would go and identify, in addition to the reasons that you have outlined, starting with verse 1, which I would like to call the scriptural authority.
Yeah.
I believe that whenever we are trying to teach somebody, especially a religious-minded person, then we clearly need to establish
the scriptural
authority. The Apostle Paul, and it is no small coincidence or gesture here when he says, "Imitate me,
as I also imitate Christ.
Clearly, what he is about to discuss, starting from headship, clearly establish the authority with which he will speak.
That's right, brother.
We have seen from several passages from the Bible that the Apostle Paul did not speak of his own authority.
No.
Although in some cases where he uses the term my gospel, he has clearly outlined in the scriptures that which he was teaching, whether it was the Philippians, whether it was the Corinthians or elsewhere, it was not his teaching. So he says, imitate me. In other words, be a carbon copy of me.
That's right.
Just as I also am a carbon copy of Christ.
That's right.
All my teachings are from Christ. So he goes on to establish this authority where he says, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions," as the New King's Version would say. But this word, as we clearly pointed out, it really is oracles, from the Greek word paragosis.
That's what I was about to say.
Of divine origin.
That's right. That's
right. Of divine origin. It's not from the man Paul himself.
Yeah.
Therefore, having established this authority, he now goes and lists the various reasons that you have now outlined.
Brother Bromley, the word tradition used there means one instruction, directive, order, or commandment from God.
Yes.
The word used there, the word ordinance, used in that passage, verse 2, is the same word that is translated tradition in Mark chapter 7, verse 3, verse 8 and 9, Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. And when we look on some of these passages, we will notice that, and remember I said that what determines the meaning of a word is the context within which it is
used.
When you look on the context in which the word, like tradition, is used, and before we end tonight, we are going to go over some of these contexts. Go on, Brother Bramley. Go on.
Just to, you know, we in Malgoli, we like to say, let the Bible speak.
That's right.
And so, when we talk about authority, as outlined from verse 1, verses 1 and 2, listen what the Apostle Paul, is the same Apostle Paul, or whoever was the apostle writing any of the epistles, it was not their own, but
that's right,
but from God. This is what the Apostle Paul says in, this is just one example of, in found in Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. He says, Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man.
That's right.
For neither I received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hence he says, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. So it is not a teaching. If it were a custom or a practice, it would have been through man.
That's right.
It would have been coming down through the centuries.
That's
but
right.
But clearly, this is not so. So all the reasons given are divine reason. It is not something of, quote and unquote, the normal use of the word tradition.
No, definitely not.
So we are saying that if one is truly sincere and honest and claim to have a knowledge of the Greek, then you would clearly see that this word tradition or oracles is not something that has been passed down from generation to generation.
And as I've said, we are going to look, if time permit, because that's one of the things, while we have gone over it, because we are on the close, I plan to just review a few of the passages in which word like custom and tradition, especially those two words, the word custom and tradition use. But even before that, in fact, I must address a point here now. Long ago, a question was asked by one of our visitors, regular visitors, and I look and saw that person here long ago, and I'll just address the question. It's a good question. When we consider the questions you ask as good question, because those questions either send us to study some more, to do more investigation, and in many cases give us also the opportunity to teach truth. This question was asked probably some 2-3 months ago, and it is the fact that the Bible said if the person preach or prophesy. And the point the person made was that women do not preach or prophesy. Pray, rather, or prophesy. Okay, we had covered that, but not when the person who addressed that point, she wasn't. The Bible says when the man or the woman preaches or pray, the man must not be covered and the woman must. The point the person makes is that women does not preach, well, at least in the Lord's church. Did everybody hear that? In the Lord's church, women do do not preach. They teach, because women teach other women. They teach Sunday school. Most of our Sunday school teachers have always been women, and they have done such great job. They do not preach to mixed audience, and the Bible is specific on that. So, what would be your answer? We have covered it. If the person says, well, since women do not pray, they do not at least lead in prayer, they do not pray or preach or teach, what would be your answer? Brother Bramley, the person who is asking that question or putting forward this, that is sincere, the person is among us, one of our very regular visitors. How would you respond to that? The person's point is that, I think, that it would not be relevant for a woman, the passage, since she doesn't pray and she doesn't preach or teach.
I'm not quite certain as to what exactly is being taught. If the person could just word that question, if she's here. Is she here?
Yes, but suppose the person sometime.
But we don't need to be coy about anything. I mean, we are here as brethren.
Just a minute. I don't like to lay hand on a person suddenly, as Paul said.
We're here to admonish each other.
So the person is here.
Yeah, we're here to edify each other. So
but sometimes, Brother Bramley, a person doesn't want to get involved in a public way. I would ask if the person cares to, just hold up your hand. If you don't care to, just remain as you are, and I'll deal with it. Okay. The person doesn't care to participate publicly. So I'll deal with it.
Let's look at the verse.
Okay.
Let's look at the verse. Verse 5. I think that the question will be based on verse 5.
Okay, let me hear verse 5.
But every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head.
Which would be the man? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. So she would be dishonoring the man.
Of course, she would be dishonoring God too.
That is correct.
That's right.
Right? According to the stratification of Egypt.
I don't want us to spend a lot. Here, her point, the person's point is, pray or prophesy. Prophesy here means preaching or teaching.
Yes.
Remember, the word prophesy, it has its primary meaning and it is its secondary meaning.
Yes.
The primary meaning of the word prophesy is to
foretell.
Foretell. That's the primary meaning. Foretell. That is tell forth. I am telling forth now. The secondary meaning is to foretell. That is to tell it before it happens. We usually think that the word primarily means to foretell. Its primary meaning is to tell forth. Now, so the contention of the person is, since women, she has been coming here for a good while, and she doesn't see any woman praying or preaching. So her point, which, if you look on it from the surface, the point or the question has an appearance of validness. Since woman doesn't pray or prophesy, from that context, the passage would not be relevant to her. She would not be expected to cover.
Let us re-examine the verse. Let us re-examine the verse. I'll preface it first by saying, you mentioned a book that was written by Brother Guy Caskey.
Yes, yes.
That was some nearly 50 years ago.
That's right.
I don't know if it's the same book to which you are referring to.
It's a book
on a woman wear a hat to church.
Yes, yes.
That is an unfortunate titling of that book. And I have read it, and it contains several mistakes.
I felt so.
Brethren, let me just very quickly state, I am not here to put any disparaging comments on the brother's work.
Yeah.
I do not know, since the publication of that book, I believe it was in 1971, having met him in 1985, if he would have subsequently updated his writing.
I may just throw
from
this, brother Bramley. Brother Caskey wrote that book to overthrow the teaching on head covering.
Okay.
That much. That's what the book is about. It's to show that the belief that he has come to Jamaica and see is showing that we have misunderstood the passage. You know, that's why that book, because most of the American brethren don't believe in head covering. I have the book in my library there. Yes, go on. I think we spent too make it brief, because because I saw the person here, and so many times the person has been in study, and I don't address the question, so I want to get to answering the question. So make your point brief, Brother Bramley.
I believe that question is based upon the understanding or belief, maybe coming from a source such as this, that this verse here in 5 speaks only to the public worship, which is not so. If we examine further the outline or the context of this chapter here, the praying or the prophesying is not limited to the public worship. Therein lies one of the major difficulties in how people understand this. So in verse 5, it was not limiting the woman to public worship.
Yeah.
Because if that were so, then she would have all right not to cover her head right now.
Yeah.
Outside of the public worship.
Talking about public worship.
Right.
Yeah.
And the context is not dealing with exclusively public worship.
Okay. Okay. Brother Webb.
I could take two approaches to that response, to that question. All right. So, one, When a person is worshiping or is in worship, it is not only the person who is praying publicly or leading the prayer that is praying.
We are on the close. We ask that you listen, Brother Webb's comment. Brother Bramley has just commented. We ask that you listen, Brother Webb's comment, and the point that is the legitimate point brought up by the person involved, that women do not pray or prophesy in the Church of Christ, so they ought not to be covered, Brother Bramley. Comment and look on it from the fact that the text is not dealing just with public worship. Okay, Brother Webb now is bringing up something. And
there's a further point when he finishes.
Yes.
As it relates to
if,
it.
Go on.
Right. So when we are in worship, in fact, worship in general is not one of spectatorship.
Okay, Brother right. Webb is addressing the point that when we are in worship, worship is not one of spectatorship. Meaning, every true child of God are to participate. Is that a fact?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Go on.
Right. So, and I'll just pick up the two particular things that came out in this context.
Yes.
So, in respect to praying, when the brother goes up and we rightly say leads in prayer, it means that those in the pews would also be participating in that prayer.
Uh-huh.
All right. And even the person who is preaching, when that really what we are doing, we are studying.
Yeah.
And the persons in the pews also participate in that, to the extent that there are other scriptures that will tell us that we accent or we show our agreement by saying amen and approve. So what we find is that in the public worship, the women in fact participate in the worship and in prayer and in the study. Alright, so the woman is not exempt. Alright, so that is one aspect. We could also consider in responding to the question that if it is that a woman never preaches and never prays, then this passage would have no relevance.
Right.
Paul would have been talking about a hypothetical
That's
situation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But so the fact that he's covering this issue and saying that the woman ought not to cover when praying or prophesying is accenting that the woman does pray and prophesy.
Okay, may I? Along, brother, I have to go through this quick. Which of the acts of worship, well, let me start with the positive. From what I gather from the Bible is that every act of worship we engage in as Christian, every true child of God that comprises that audience are to participate. What did I say, Cheryl? Every child of God participate. Every act, every brother, every sister are to participate in every act of worship. Now, acts of worship. Among the acts of worship that we engage in is singing, praying, studying God's word, communing, giving. Now, which of these is a sister, a woman who is a Christian, which of these is she exempt from?
None.
None. When we study God's word, our preaching and teaching, she is and ought to be an active part of that study. Listen, Paul in 1 Corinthians 14. Is it 15. Yes. Verse 23.
If therefore the whole church be come together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelieving, will they not say that ye are mad?
Read on.
But if all prophesy...
Wait. Paul is talking here about a congregational setting. You see? All. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, etc. But verse 24. But if all prophesy... What did he say?
All prophesy.
Read on.
But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all. He is judged of all.
What is the idea here? Everybody sees this? Nobody sees it? This business of all prophesy. He's convinced of all. He's judged of all. It's the concept that in a worship setting, every child of God is an active participant. Everyone participates. When the word, in fact, there are ways where we participate in a passage and talk, how shall they say amen since they do not understand? Amen is one way of participating in the teaching, preaching of God's word. And the passage, this passage of Corinthians bears that out. In fact, the passage of Corinthians so dealt with the concept of amen as to tell us that God expects Christians to give their assent and consent to truth by saying amen. And then at these two verses, he pointed out all. He's convinced of all. And when he's convinced of all, what he does,
judge of all.
Verse 25.
And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth.
The you here is referring to the whole church. Brothers and sisters. So, every member participates in the sermon when it is being preached. Every sister participates in the prayer while, may I? In a few minutes, a brother going to end the discussion in prayer. That one person is here praying doesn't mean that we should not pray our silent prayer. Do we understand that? When, be it on a Sunday morning, a brother is asked to come and direct the prayer, that brother just lead our minds in prayer. We can bow and be whispering our own prayer, or we can make the prayer being worded audibly be our prayer. That's why we say amen. The lesson Sunday with Elkanah and his wife, she was praying to God how? Silently. And the judge in the person of Eli saw only her mouth moving, but she wasn't audible. And he thought she had drunk some wine before she came to worship. She said she was just talking to her God. That's right. So every true child of God is a participant in every act of worship. So a woman does pray even though she does not lead in prayer, or she may not in a mixed audience pray audibly. She teaches God's word in the sense that she's a part of the sermon going on. Every act of worship that I list here, every child of God, brothers and sisters, are to participate when the church meets. Not only this passage, you have brought up, I remember you had thrown out a passage when we studied this about the... Yes, that we teach and we admonish one another in psalms and that's right, we admonish one another. That's right, there's another passage, shows that giving support, even though you might not have been a leading part, God consider you a part of it. That if any come unto you and bring not this, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, that means wish him well. God bless you. The Bible says, he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker. So when you are in worship and you are a part of what is going on, you're a part of this singing, whatever, God consider you a partaker. The sisters are partaker in the sermon that is preached, the prayer that is said. And my good friend can come and we talk more over it. Okay? Thank you. We keep you a little late. We keep you 15.